It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Akron, Ohio was once the home to the nation's leading tire manufacturers. However, like other Rust Belt cities, it was hit by layoffs, factory closings, and declining population. In his book, The Hard Way on Purpose, Essays and Dispatches from the Rust Belt, our guest, David Giffels, chronicles past glories and present condition of his home state. He recently spoke with Essential Pittsburgh producer Marcus Charleston. Their conversation began with David Giffels reading from his book.
When you stay in a place like this and watch people and ideas and institutions leave, and you trace the patterns and the imbalances, that becomes part of your generation's definition. And then it becomes a matter of identity and pride, replacing the old versions and begging for a new definition. I stay in a place that people leave.
And one of the people who left is LeBron James. You open the book with an essay about LeBron James. What does LeBron James' journey say about Akron?
I think his story is fascinating because it's the only case I can think of in American sports where a hometown that needed not just a hero but somebody that they specifically could identify with that city nationally or internationally got him right when we needed him. You know, he was born exactly as the Rust Belt was taking hold, and all through his growing up and his early professional career, self-identified with being from Akron. He has 330, the local area code, tattooed down his left arm, and he, you know, talks very often about how important where he's from is to who he is. And so for him to kind of come of age just as we needed a new identity. And it wasn't like he was going to be the identity, but it was like going to be like he was somebody who understood it and then to represent us. And then we have this long, terrible legacy of losing or not winning in Akron and Cleveland. And so to be the one who could lead us to that championship after decades and decades. I mean, I refer to it as a Homeric epic. You know, it really is like this individual who carries such a burden of expectation and the possibility of transformation and all of that. It's much more to me than a sports story. So then for him to come to the point where it's time to decide, do I stay or do I go? I mean, that's such the American story. Do I move on toward my opportunities? Do I commit to place and so forth? That decision was so important, I think, in ways that I don't know if the rest of the country could completely understand the level of importance of him deciding to leave, you know. And it was called the decision, this very conscious thing that he did. And so there was a betrayal and an anger at first, but also this gut check, you know, so who are we then? That's not going to be our identity. And, you know, this region is in this constant state of redefining identity.
In the book, there's an essay where you talk about people that you're friends with who one by one leave and you find a replacement because they've had to make that decision to go. Why have you stayed?
It's not like I decided, you know, from the start, this is where I'm going to stay. But I came to a point in my life and in my career, because I think many of the people who left was because there wasn't a lot of opportunity career-wise. And so I came to a point where I was establishing my career and my family in Akron, my hometown, the place I was from, and I had an opportunity to leave just at a moment when it would be very possible to do so and to move forward. And the decision that my wife and I made to stay was a decision that was very much about kind of who we were, like as people and as a family. Where do we make sense? And I think I and people who make a decision to commit to a place that's not the easiest place to live in and that doesn't offer the same kind of opportunities that another place would leave, I think makes you, it gives you a certain kind of pride. You're owning your blues and you're going to stay with them. So then to make it there means something because you've really sort of hitched your wagon to something that's going to be a struggle. And I think life with struggle is much more interesting than an easy life.
Pittsburgh is the steel city. Akron was the rubber capital of the world. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh has remade itself mainly with Eds and Meds. How is Akron remaking itself?
It's interesting. I mean, right now the city has defined something they call the biomedical corridor. And it's, you know, what one of the benefits of Akron's owning an industry is that it wasn't just a factory town. It was all the headquarters were there. All the intellectual research was there. And the union of the rubber workers was headquartered there. So it was like all aspects of an industry were self-contained. And as those things one by one disappeared, the research aspect stayed. And the University of Akron actually took on, it's called polymer engineering. The rubber is a polymer. And it's the center of polymer research in the world. Much of that is related to medical research. And so there's a growing kind of community of that kind of research that's ongoing there. But there's another interesting thing, too, that part of that polymer science program that's interestingly came to be at exactly the same moment LeBron James was leaving is the first bachelor's degree in corrosion engineering, which is basically rust. You know? And so the city that sort of invented the Rust Belt owns, you know, like, and it drew all this millions of dollars in federal grants and all of this interest because, you know, it's a very important thing to study how rust works and stop it so bridges don't fall down and government facilities, instead of turning our backs on it and being ashamed of it, like, we, nobody understands rust better than we do if we're surrounded by it.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. We're speaking with David Giffels, author of The Hard Way on Purpose. Are the people in Akron and Ohio and the Rust Belt, as you've seen, optimistic about their future?
Optimistic, yes, but it's not a simple optimism. It's not a chamber of commerce, you know, sort of like superficial belief that things will just be better. I think there's a really, I mean, that's really a core of this book is this idea of hope and a dark hope because, yeah, I mean, people who, especially, you know, people like me who've stayed have stayed because we believe that things could be better, but we believe that in the face of a lot of adversity and a lot of recognition that even when we do succeed, when things do kind of come back around, that it's not so simple. So, I mean, Akron, for instance, in the Rust Belt region is a relatively successful comeback city. I mean, but it's still, but you look at the struggle, I mean, jobs are still hard to come by. And the reality is that part of the reason we've been able to kind of get new traction is because the city's reduced by one third. And so there's a certain kind of opportunity when enough people leave that the people who stay can seize the opportunities that are left behind. And so that's not necessarily a positive thing, but it's, but you continue to churn and churn and churn and try to make things better. And I think there is a real spirit among people who've stayed to pick up things that have been discarded and notions that have been discarded and fix them. And there's a real spirit of rehabilitation and reinvention in cities like these. I mean, look around Pittsburgh. You've got these buildings that were so well built at the height of the city's wealth and power. And that's something to save. That's something to recommit to. And so you know, you don't just clear it out and start anew. You keep fixing and fixing and fixing. And so that's optimism, to, you know, to believe that the things that have fallen by the way can kind of be brought back up.
How do Ohioans feel in a state that is the home of presidents? Every 4 years, the media descends upon the state for the presidential election to say the road to the White House goes through Ohio. Is there something strange about that in terms of we get all this attention every 4 years, but then the other times we're looked upon as just poor Ohio?
Yeah, it drives us crazy. When I was researching for the book, I went back and found that every 4 years, the cover of the New York Times Magazine in about September is Ohio. And it's, you know, like, there's the battleground state, there's the swing state, there's where it's going to be decided. They already know. And so everybody comes descending in, and it's like, you ignore us for 4 years, and you sort of like paint us with a simple brush, and then you come and try to understand us. And so we resent that, even though I don't know any subculture that more wants to be understood than the one I come from. So it's this paradox. It's almost a hypocrisy to say, don't tell us who we are, but then understand us. So it's fun to watch. It's interesting to watch. And in fact, there's the longest essay in the book is about my experience in the 2004 election. I traveled the state for like 6 weeks as a columnist for the Akron newspaper, just trying to get to the complexity of it and to talk to people in a way that I didn't think they were being talked to from the national press that just wants to know red or blue, you know, which way is it going to go? And to get into the, I guess, the subtlety and the complexity of it, which is much more interesting.
At one point in the book, you just mentioned you were a newspaper columnist, but you and your best friend both lost your jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that going through that experience mirrored the experiences of people who'd come before you who worked at the rubber plants?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the story that we grew up with because we grew up as all of this was collapsing. And so, yeah, the idea of reinvention comes back again. You know, in John's case, he worked for one of the big institutions, Roadway, what was then Roadway Express, a trucking company that was founded in Akron, and had an excellent job and just got, you know, it was in during the recession, just got cut. In my case, I was, you know, the newspaper industry was really going through horrible times, and I took a buyout. So a little bit more on my own terms, but still, I mean, the idea for both of us was we can't just continue to do what we're doing. We have to do something new. And so we went through it about a year apart, but close together, and shared our experience together. And yeah, I mean, one thing that when you come from a place that's used to things going badly or hard times, you understand how to get through them. And I think, you know, the larger story of the Great Recession that, you know, Ohio's been in recession really for, you know, a generation. And so we got something to teach. You know, it's kind of like that Rust thing. It's like, hey, it's been rough here, but, you know, the rest of the country could probably learn a few things from us at this point. So, yeah.
David Giffels is the author of the book, The Hard Way on Purpose. David, thank you for joining us on the Central Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
David Giffels will read from his book, The Hard Way on Purpose, Essays and Dispatches from the Rust Belt, on March 31st at 6 p.m. at the Penguin Bookshop in Sewickley. We'll have more Central Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.